Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. Remember that iPad? All that hype, and then it sunk without a trace. Well, now the iPad 2 is coming. We've all the predictions. No need to predict, though, what'll be in the new MacBook Pros. They're already here. So, too, are the new Vios with some hot competition for the iMac. And what's all this we hear about a Galaxy Tab 8.9? Plus, we'll be bringing you our lunchtime app essentials. Really, that's the sort of stuff we debate here. All that and considerably less once I introduce my co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and the man who gives lemons a run for their money for sharpness. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello, Darren. Hiya.
Hello, morning. Hiya.
God, that was very gay. Hello. That's what you would call a double-edged compliment, isn't it? Give lemons a run for their money for sharpness. That's like you're saying I'm
sharp,
bitter, witty, as well as sharp. Yeah.
Well, I, your words, not mine.
I've got waxy yellow skin.
Sour.
Again.
Give me pancakes, though.
Well, hey, Duncan, what minor blip in your otherwise carefree existence has occurred this week?
Well, something hilarious happened this week, which is actually very old school.
On the way to the forum.
Yeah, no, this is going to give people a nostalgic twinge for the old days when you used to have to complain via phone rather than via email. Because I got to, this is a bit like one of the things on You and Yours, that Radio 4 program that you were on. I had this Amex card about 10 years ago, and I stopped using it because nobody accepts bloody Amex, basically, so it's a complete waste of time. As Marquis Smith said in a song once, they made such a fuss about giving it to me, and now I spend most of my time getting it turned down. It's very true, that line. Anyway, so I got rid of it. And then, so I hadn't heard anything from them for about 5 years. And then I got a bill on Monday. Well, it wasn't even a bill. It was like a sort of late notice, and it said, you owe us £12, pay up. So I phoned up, and I was like, you know, because I thought, ooh, identity theft or something, because that, you know, you let cards go dormant, and it is a possibility. Mm. Except, of course, you can't buy anything with a bloody Amex. So it'd be a waste of time identity thieving that one. And so I phoned up and they said, yeah, because you haven't used it for a long time, we've charged you a dormancy fee and that's what you have to pay. So I was like, I mean, I don't normally have a go at the people that you speak to on the phone because it's not their fault. But I was so outraged by that. I was like, how can you do that? I've never heard of such a practice. But anyway, this is the sort of the nostalgic bit, because then, obviously, because I'd set up such a long time ago, this is before really sort of even phone banking, really, and certainly before online banking. Because now you just go and log on, and you go, blah, 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 what's happened here? But yeah, so I had absolutely no idea how to log on, as it were, to this woman, because she said, well, you'll have set up a memorable date. I was like, I'm terrible with dates. Is it my own birthday? And she was like, no, it's not your own birthday. And I was like, well, that's good, because that would be very... Yes. That would be a terrible password.
What amateur kind of...
But so now I have to write a letter. How old school is that? I cannot remember the last time I wrote a letter.
Now you'll find that. Now you'll find that.
I feel so old.
Your signature's changed, and
I can't do a signature at all. I'd just be a big X. Yeah, I'll just put my thumbprint.
You're going to get all sorts of trouble.
But that set me to thinking that you know, the world's changed a lot, hasn't it? And in many ways, that's like Jesus.
And fine wine.
Yeah.
And women.
Right. I'm just trying to get back the Radio 4 listeners.
There we are.
Alienated that time.
Excellent. Good.
So that's my thought for the day.
Lovely. Lovely. Thank you, Duncan. On swiftly to our top story. And it is the news pouring out of Apple this week. High quality downloads, new MacBook Pros, iPhone 5 delays possibly, and something about an iPad 2.
We know?
Let's start with the dullest. New downloads before we move on to the meat.
Downloads before we move on to the meat.
The meat, yes. The meat of the Apple. That makes no sense. The analogy is breaking down.
You've brought meat.
And incidentally, the government's recommending you eat no more than 70 grams of red meat a day.
Okay, so
I don't, actually. Yeah, I read that story and I was like, yeah, I don't really eat more than that.
Explains a lot. Right, yes, Apple moving to 24-bit lossless iTunes.
Yeah, supposedly.
For a premium.
Yeah, it's just the space they take up. Who's going to buy them?
Audio files.
Well, there's rumours that there's going to be a mega uber capacity iPod to cope with them all.
Okay. So you'd get like the premium iPod.
You'd get the premium iPod, which would, you know, be, I guess, the iPod Classic, essentially. We were wondering whether there was ever going to be a use for the iPod Classic. Now we found one.
Well, the price of flash drives, or whatever you want to call them, is coming down a bit as well. Although it's still reassuringly expensive enough for audio files
Apple always charges a premium for extra storage and things
like that. Do you know, the only thing about this story that's interesting is that I actually broke it 4 months ago.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought it was so uninteresting, I didn't really even bother to tell anyone on the website. Because, when I went to New York, when I was hanging out in New York with my homies,
oh, yeah.
Dr. Dre and his
Steve Jobs
little mate in leopard skin boots, lizard skin boots. Yeah, he's told me then.
Did he?
But he was such a Jimmy Iovine, his
this
name
has
was.
Been all over the place.
He's such a bullshitter that I assumed that it wasn't a true story. I did put it in the article, but I didn't really think any more about it.
That's kind of the worst scoop ever on the grounds that you didn't really break it.
That's how I roll. Excellent. That's my kind of journalistic style.
Okay. It's just so you can say, I told you.
Yeah, yeah, I just like to sit on these.
We've got some tweets grumbling about it in a bit, but we'll get to those later. Okay, more interesting. MacBook Pros. New processors, up to twice as fast as the old lineup. For pretty much the same money.
They always say that. I mean, it's not going to be twice as fast, is
well,
it?
Well, completely. The benchmarks, if you believe them on the Apple site, they sort of range between, for different applications and things, between 1.6 times faster and 2 times faster. So.
But I say benchmarks, schmentsmarks.
Yeah, obviously.
Especially once you've had it for about 6 months and filled up the hard drive. Well, isn't it a little bit like it's about time?
Yeah, but I mean,
shouldn't
we were
the last
also...
generation have had i7s across the board, really?
Well, you could get an i. Could you get an i7?
Yes, you could. You had to pay. But I think only on the biggest those. One or yeah, only on the medium sized one.
Yeah, so now you can get i7 across the range. You can get quad core on the 15 inch and 17 inch. I think the biggest leap is the 13 inch because it was a bit of a dog, the 13 inch MacBook, because it had just Core 2 Duos. I don't think you could get SSD for it. So now it's you can get i7 dual core, you can get SSD. You could really pimp a 13-inch MacBook for not a lot of money because it's £50 cheaper than the old MacBook and it's just about 10 zillion times better.
You mean MacBook Pro?
Than the old MacBook Pro.
Yeah, they must have sold none of that because why would you buy that over a MacBook non-Pro?
You buy the 13-inch MacBook Pro over a 13-inch MacBook Air? And the only thing was if you needed a disk drive and FireWire. That was about the only advantage of getting a big lumpy MacBook Pro 13-inch. But the new one...
Yes, they seem to have...
Are you regretting your Air?
I'm not regretting my 11-inch Air because that, to me, is still the best 11-inch netbook you can get. But my brother-in-law got the 13-inch MacBook Air kind of on my recommendation. I'm thinking, maybe...
Oops.
Maybe.
What's your brother-in-law's name? He gets mentioned about once every 4 or 5 months.
Paul. Sorry about
Big that. Shout to Paul.
Apologies from Dan.
And apologies. No, I mean, the MacBook Air is still a very gorgeous, unique thing. I mean, the 13-inch Pro is still heavy, but...
Oh, stop boasting.
It's now packed.
Yeah, no, I thought it was...
It's now ripped.
The only thing I wasn't sure about is I'm not really familiar with the... Because I've got really no interest in it, I've got to admit. But I'm not really familiar with the graphics chips that they're using in the MacBook Pro now. The sort of Intel ones.
Well, they've got... So the 13-inch has the Intel HD Graphics 3000, which is a boost. But that's, integrated graphics. Yeah, from what it had. Yeah. But the 15...
I've had ATI before.
No, the 15-inch and the 17-inch have the ATI AMD shenanigans. And when it needs a boost, it'll switch to that. And then it can call on up to a gig of RAM and all this kind of stuff. It gets pretty powerful once you get to the 15 and 17. But unless you're, you're doing sort of hardcore 3D gaming, you don't necessarily need any of that.
It's for visual professionals, isn't it? It's for editing,
but even if you high def video
or
an Intel 3000 will cope with that. 13, it'll cope, any
photography. It's for visual professionals who like to show off.
Basically.
Yeah. Carry around a massive, heavy computer.
Have a massive... Look at this, 17-inch.
I'd love to know who carries a 17-inch.
I used to carry around a 15-inch MacBook Pro, and it was heavy.
That's the thing, though, but you don't. You have an assistant to carry around for you, don't you? Once you reach that point, you don't carry around
your
own.
Why wouldn't
you
get the 13-inch or a 15-inch if you need the extra power and just plug it in to a display when you get to a desk?
That's not how these people think about these things.
No, maybe
if you're like a really highly paid photographer or cameraman or kind of visual professional of that type, you don't really think in those terms. You just think, I want this laptop to be a big extension of my big swinging door. That's essentially what it's for.
We were kind of promised sort of MacBook Air-ish elements, but I haven't seen any of them. They look exactly the same as the old ones, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Well, they're overpriced.
Hey! Well, they're not. They're cheaper. I mean, they're still, compare it to a PC, obviously, it feels like you're being ripped off. But
I don't even know what airish elements means. I mean, what?
I don't know. I assumed it was going to be a bit thinner or something, but yeah.
But I think, again, if you're after something that's called, a pro, I think you actually don't want the real slimness. You want it to have a bit of heft and a bit of kind of...
Thunderbolt.
Thank you.
10 gigabits per second, which is quite fast when you compare it to USB 2, 480 megabits per second FireWire, 800 megabits per second, and even USB 3, which is 5 gigabits per second. Mm-hmm. What? I mean,
what?
It's WTF? Basically, it's USB just completely really fast. Like, yeah.
Is this Apple's proprietary term for something else? Because I've never heard of
I don't recognize the slot or anything. I mean, it's faster than USB 3, which is going to be a standard.
Yeah.
So this is Apple, you know, once again, choosing something a bit random. But 10 gigabits per second is extraordinarily fast. You could, the way they're spinning this is you can have 8 stupidly fast hard drives attached, you know.
Yeah, but do you know what? I will practically guarantee you that you couldn't do that. Because you remember my tale of woe.
Mm.
About, I've got a hard drive running off FireWire 800, which used to be the state of the art few years ago.
Yeah.
It's so slow, it's hopelessly slow. So although in theory it runs at, you know,
I see,
n bazillion gigabits per second, they never actually do.
I think we can safely say that it's going to be a lot faster than USB.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know, but so what? I don't understand why Apple keep going down this route.
Well, again, if you are an imaging professional and you're dragging massive HD or 3D, imagine 3D video, 3D high definition video. And you're running that over, you know, FireWire, you're going to get caned. But Thunderbolt, it's the future.
Maybe for, yes, for okay, Apple. For that particular small sort of niche. But I don't understand why Apple keep on backing, you know, sort of these new... Because FireWire, like, seriously, they made out that was going to be the next big thing about 10 years ago, didn't they?
And they've dropped it like a stone
now. Within a few generations of the iPod, they dropped it for that being the connector and gone back to USB 2.
Let's get on to the iPad 2.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Well, we now know it's going to be announced, at least, on Wednesday.
Yeah, yes. I mean, so we'll talk about it more next week.
Oh, yeah.
We'll know
what
it
is. There's so many rumors. I mean, in terms of what we can say, it's what we reckon. It's thinner, it's got a camera on the front.
Yeah, FaceTime.
Yeah.
Lighter.
Fill in the rest. Now, is this going to be one of those kind of, oh, you know, slight tweaks?
Yeah.
Because that's like happened with the iPhone. Yeah. Until you went 3GS to iPhone 4, there weren't massive leaping bounds being made.
No. I think it'll be almost exactly the same, but a bit faster, basically. Presumably it is going to have a front camera, but that doesn't...
It's not great shape. Everyone's got it now, haven't they?
Yeah. Has anyone done any research? You know, because everybody always says, why isn't there a front camera on this? And then all these other tablets come out that have got a front camera. Does anyone actually use it? Do people really
video chat?
Via a tablet, though?
I use Skype on a netbook constantly. Well, not constantly. More, that's an exaggeration, everyone.
But it's so much more practical on a laptop or even on a desktop because it's just mounted there.
It's effectively its own stand, isn't it?
Yeah. Particularly with a laptop, you can even sort of move it up and down if you want, or put it on a pile of books if you're tall. But with a tablet, I don't know, it just seems...
You're going to constantly get that kind of...
And you're going to be holding
below
it
below the chin look, which is never very flattering.
Yeah, no, exactly. Oof.
Is just a slightly tweaked iPad 2 enough to see off all the honeycomb pretenders?
Do you want me to stick my neck out and say yes?
Yeah, I have to agree.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Probably will.
I think I've got to say the same. I mean, I read some really nice analysis on the Zoom today, and it was basically saying, look, if you're looking forward to an iPad 2, don't buy the Zoom, because the iPad 2, it's slick, it'll work, you know, it'll do everything that Apple wants you to do with it. The Zoom is going to be much more for people who really want to tinker, who understand, the word it used was kind of PC metaphors, you know, that, you know, sort of understand things like long clicks and short clicks and things like that, you know. So if you give a Zoom to your granny, she's not going to know where she is, whereas an iPad 2, she'll get to grips with straight away.
But
if you are, you know, extremely techy and geeky, you'll probably prefer a Zoom.
But then again, if you're extremely techy and geeky, again, I think you'd prefer a laptop. Or, as I would call them, a proper computer. I don't see why. I think what Apple have done really cleverly is they basically said, yeah, there's loads of things this doesn't do. Well, they haven't literally said that. They put out a product that doesn't do lots of things. And basically the point is, it doesn't matter if it doesn't do those things, because it's designed to do much simpler things.
Yeah, if you remember where Steve Jobs, when he announced the iPad, it was a netbook isn't good at anything. And what they did is, instead of making a tablet that was great at everything, they'd made a tablet that was great at some very specific things that were quite popular.
But I think the Honeycomb tablet, it feels like they're chasing the original iPad.
Maybe.
Because people are kind of still comparing these honeycombs to the iPad. Mm. Everyone compares them to the iPad. So, but it's not as good. And now there's the iPad 2.
Yeah, the other thing is, in terms of tablet apps, which I suppose, you know, that is possibly the main feature, the thing that makes it possible to do loads of things with it. Last time I checked, it was still impossible to find any tablet-optimized apps.
Well, I'm not saying there are none, but Honeycomb is only just now appearing, isn't it? I mean, the Zoom's only just come out in the States.
No, but they could at least have optimized it in terms of screen space and you know, higher resolution graphics or, you know, pixel counts, whatever. But as far as I can tell, either there are none, or if there are some, and this would be even more stupid in a way, there isn't a section for it on Marketplace.
I think that's changing.
It's been a while since I've checked.
Yeah, I mean, the
Honeycomb isn't official yet, is it? It's not officially
official. But the thing is, the app store, the Marketplace on the Zoom, which I've seen, it just looks completely different to the Marketplace on an Android handset. So I've got to imagine that they're loading it with specific...
Good. In that case, they've listened to that.
There we are.
I just made there. Travelled back through time and rectified it.
Well, look. I mean, we could pontificate for a long time on what's going to be. But I think we're expecting a kind of just a tweak.
Yeah.
With some nice new things, but nothing dramatic.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're going for.
Yeah.
So we'll see what is announced on Wednesday. It's probably going to completely blow us out.
Listen, here is now. Yeah. This is what we've said.
Yeah.
It is going to be. It's going to launch, and it's going to be in the shape of a pyramid. Bloody laser coming off it.
Damn it.
3D. Everything.
You see, Steve Jobs goes away for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Look what happens. Anyway, there is plenty more on where that came from. So it's time to say, here is the news. Well, we've just been talking about it, and in time for the US launch of the honeycombed Motorola Zoom tablet, Google's added books to Android Market. Downloaded titles get zapped to your Google Books app. It's US only, but expect to see it here soon.
More good news from Moto and Samsung is that the Daily, Murdoch's iPad newspaper, will be making the leap to Android sooner than expected. Authing D's Peter Kafka says a source has told him the Android edition will launch sometime between April and June.
And the tablet news keeps on a-coming. Not content with launching the Galaxy Tab 10.1 at Mobile World Congress, Samsung is said to be readying an 8.9-incher to go head-to-head with LG's Optimus Tab. Korean news sites are even claiming it could be out next month.
Amazing. Incredible. But let's not forget the humble notebook.
Yes.
Sony's unleashed the sleek 13-inch Vaio S series sporting a magnesium and aluminium body with a full flat design and a backlit keyboard. Hot on its heels are the 24-inch Vaio L series all-in-one desktop that takes on the iMac with the addition of one screen multi-touch.
On-screen
multi-touch and Blu-ray. And there's also the colourful 14-inch Vaio C series.
Let's not forget the little C. After being hacked to run on Windows, Microsoft's finally confirmed that Kinect will be coming to the PC. The SDK will be made available to developers this spring, allowing the motion gaming system to be used to manipulate PC controls.
And finally, well done to Lady Gaga, who's seen her new single, Born This Way, becoming the fastest-selling track in iTunes history, securing more than 1 million downloads in under 5 days. Gaga's latest track has helped the artist atop the iTunes single chart in 23 countries simultaneously. Well done,
extraordinary.
Gaga. Amazing.
It's not even all that good of a song.
I know, well, there was all this Twitter fury, wasn't there? That she copied Madonna.
Another bit of Lady Gaga news.
It does sound weirdly like Madonna. It's almost like somebody's described to somebody what Madonna sounded like, and then, or like all of Madonna's records have been fed into some kind of sentient supercomputer. Yeah, and like somebody's turned a lever and that's come out the other end.
Perhaps that one that won Jeopardy the other day, the IBM one.
Oh, that one, yeah. Norman or whatever his name is.
I've got more Gaga news. Her new perfume, she has confirmed, contains traces of blood and semen.
What?
Yep.
No, that's got to be rubbish.
She confirmed it on Twitter, confirmed that her new perfume contains
blood and semen
because she wants that smell, that post-sex smell.
That's horrendous.
Must be some sort of health and safety issue.
I can't imagine that's true. I'm flabbergasted. Where's the Daily Mail when you need it?
Because perfume testers, they are always... It's like wine, isn't it? There's always like a list of a million different smells that could be in there. It's like, top notes of cum and blood. Lovely.
Excellent. I don't think I can carry on. Time to see what you've been tweeting to at @T3DOTCOM.
Stephen 316, Stephen Clark, on iTunes, charging more for high-quality downloads. I can't believe they would charge more for this when they must be recorded in the higher quality anyway, just another rip-off. Ooh, well, no, I don't know. I'm not quite sure about that.
Because they're recorded, but then they're compressed, aren't they? So I don't know. It must cost.
I imagine there's more? A cost element to the storage. Yeah. I imagine there's a cost element to the delivery. But more importantly, it's simple economics. If you can differentiate things in price, that's a great way of selling stuff. So wealthier people
get more quality.
I need to buy the highest quality, and we'll pay more. Mm. And you know, us poor chavs will go, oh look, you can just get it for 79p and buy that one. Mm.
It is. Radiohead did the same thing, didn't they? Yeah. You could buy
the WAV version
for on MP3.
Yeah, I think it was a tenner for the WAV one. Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
I wouldn't worry about it, Steve, because to be honest, unless you've got a massively expensive stereo, you don't need it. Quality anyway.
Yeah,
it's an amusing thing that if you it's been shown in certain studies, maybe certain other studies have shown the opposite. I don't know, but if you even people who pride themselves on having golden ears, you play them like a high quality MP3 and the original CD, and they can't tell the difference in a blind test. To which I say, ha ha ha!
There we are. Re.
Yeah. Okay. We asked if you were excited by the iPad 2 and the reaction we got from Rupen Kotecha. Yes, we are! Lol, yay, bail!
And a smiley face. And how many exclamation marks are in there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
12.
12, actually. 12. 12 exclamation marks. Extraordinary.
12 exclamation marks and a smiley face.
Not everyone happy, though?
No. Bob V.D. Molin.
That makes sense. What?
Robert V.D.M. No. Not excited about the iPad. In fact, rather dreading the looming sycophantic whirlwind.
Sycophantic whirlwind.
Yeah. Gosh.
That sounds like a 1980s indie band. It'd be like supporting the order in Salford with crispy ambulance and sycophantic
and
whirlwind.
Also, Strikers 66 Logan. Regular. In 3 years' time, when everyone is using touchscreen super thin laptops, we will look back and laugh at the rubbish tablet fad part two.
I don't know if that's true. I think we'll still be using touchscreen super thin laptops, but I think there'll be a big part for tablets as well, I have to say.
It's like, cheers for that, laughing boy.
More on this. Seamus Shirley?
Hurley.
Seamus.
There we go. It's all one word. It's very difficult. Seamus Hurley. iPad still is the tablet of desire, but Apple needs to do something awesome with upcoming iPods, or one of the Androids will pass.
iPads even.
I agree, but I don't think they need to do it next week. No. I think next week they can get away with tweaking it. And Craig Bradshaw, Duncan, your views echoed mine completely. listening to the review of the HD 7-inch tab. A pen? Okay. Nowhere to put it. Laughable.
Someone's agreed with the
voice of reason. Yeah, I mean, the voice of reason speaks. Mm, okay. I don't choose the tweets, by the way.
No.
Just wanted to make that clear. Oh, but somebody said something nice about me. Must be
quick.
Now then,
makes a change.
Ree, have we got a gadget of the week?
Yes, we have got. We mentioned them already, but I actually saw them in the flesh.
The bios. Yeah, yes. I saw your little videos online. With I think Duncan's in the background. Is he? Someone's in the background.
No, the guy who looks exactly like Duncan's twin brother is in the background.
He sounds like him as well, because I could only hear Duncan. How extraordinary! Maybe you do have.
There are a lot of people who look like me, like bald guys with glasses. There's actually loads of them work in these offices, and sometimes it feels like you're walking around some sort of bloody hall of mirrors. It's like kind of fatter and thinner and taller and shorter versions of me as you come around the corner.
Explain. Yes. You can explain then what a full flat design is.
Oh yeah, basically the screen.
Yes.
So when you flip it up,
yes.
And when you bring it, it's completely flat, like the Air, basically.
But completely flat as opposed to what? I don't.
As that it doesn't have. I think on the old Vios, the one before this, it had like a lip at the back.
Oh, I
for
see.
The battery. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Yes, I do know what you mean, because on my old netbook, the battery, because it's big and bulky, they thought, ha, we'll turn this into a sort of little handle, which is actually quite useful. The Air does not have this because it's sleek and sexy. Yeah. Which is actually, it kind of does make it slightly more awkward to carry. So, looks a lot better, I've got to say. So they've gone with that.
Mm. So it's got, instead of having like a back, there's like a little, there's a hinge that folds.
Okay.
So there's no protuberance of any kind.
Because the undercarriage as well of PCs are always dogs, if you noticed. Whereas MacBooks, they think about all angles. So they've done the same here.
And the man said that the back is made out of magnesium. Right. So basically on the Air, apparently, this is what the man told me, that is quite fragile. So you can't, on the magnesium, he could literally twist it.
Okay.
Like
that's applying your test.
I'm not going to try that.
Get hold of it.
Twist it, but you can't do that with it.
Okay, so the magnesium is stronger. Is
yes, yeah, it's much thinner.
But there is aluminium in there too. Is that
it's
what?
Thinner and is the stronger?
Bottom.
Right.
So this, the magnesium is the back of the screen.
Okay.
And then the aluminium is the back of the keyboard, basically.
Mm. Isn't that defying the laws of physics if they've made it thinner and stronger?
No, because it's different material.
And it's back. It's the material. Keyboard's backlit as well, because that's the other, yes. On the 13-inch, because it's kind of going up against the 13-inch Air, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So on the new 13-inch Air, there's no backlit keyboard.
What?
So if you want backlit, maybe the Vio.
Exactly. I love it.
And it's really similar.
Keyboards.
The keys are really identical. They're almost
They look almost identical.
A lot of people say Sony have copied Apple, but I think Sony did actually do it first.
They did. So they had those isolated keys first,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
So it's just a type of keyboard. What is the name of those keyboards?
Chiclet?
Yeah, Chiclet. That's never going to take off. Somebody needs to come up. I think
it's from the
competition.
States. Isn't that what they call those little chewing gum, you know, bits of chewing gum? Aren't they chiclets?
So that might make more sense.
I think in the States
chewing gum
it makes
aficionado.
More sense. Yes.
So that is my gadget of the week. But I did see the other one. The C series is really interesting as well.
Is that the colourful one?
The really colourful one.
Yeah, extraordinarily colourful. The most colourful laptop since the original iMac.
Yeah, but they're so colourful. Like, and they shine around the side. Okay. They've got like a special material that even when it's not lit, it looks like the Vio.
One for the kids then. I'm more interested, I have to say, in the L series, the iMac wannabe.
L series, yeah. That's really interesting because they've got gesture control for the bezel. So similar to the Playbook.
Got it.
So you use the
bezel. So the touchscreen is a touchscreen, but also the outside of it works as well.
You can use the bezel for gestures. So you can click one corner and it'll launch the browser, drag and it'll bring the keyboard.
They're kind of claiming you can get rid of your mouse. Is that nonsense?
They were showcasing it with a mouse.
I think that says it all.
But yeah,
a nice looking thing.
And it's cheaper than what the old L series was.
Okay.
It's updated.
Yeah, because really, if you want an all-in-one, you've got the iMac, you've got the Acer, which... style-wise, doesn't really knock it. And then, so the only real competition is the Sony.
Yeah,
so
it was very good.
There's those Hewlett-Packard touchscreen ones, but they're quite poor.
Yeah, again, you see, not really up there. But, and the Sony has Blu-ray as well, which the iMac doesn't.
Exactly, yeah. And they've stylized it, they made it very more much
not
more
a big
stylish.
Screen.
But I really like the design of Sony Vios.
Yeah, I'd be tempted by that. Well, unfortunately, as always, I have to have an iMac because of work, but...
Yeah.
Well, it's not really that much of a drag, is it? You know, I'm lumbered with this gorgeous looking PC.
I know, but I just don't want people accusing me of fanboyism.
Oh, I see.
I always add the caveat. Well, I have to have it for work.
Okay. When are these all out?
They're all out. I think they're out in May.
Okay, so we've got a while to wait.
Yeah. Okay. Double check that in the video. There's all the facts.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. Teether.com for more.
Here, there are no facts.
Yeah. It is just presumption.
We are facts light.
Conjecture and it's much more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now then, lunch hour, such a dull time filled with sandwiches and eBay checking. But it needn't be.
Speak for yourself, mate.
T3.
Straight down the pub.
we'll come on to that. T3 has found the best lunchtime apps to fill your precious hour. What have you pulled out of these?
Well, at my lunchtime, I always like to take a minute, you know, relax and
center yourself.
Yeah, my inner self.
Of course, yes.
So I've got one. I forgot the name of it.
Is this the iZen?
Yeah, it's the iZen. So basically, it's an app, and it gives you a bit of sand, digital sand.
I really like this,
and you can rake it. And like calm yourself.
Yeah, because like in the 90s, you remember when...
Yeah, okay, the corporate toys.
Yeah, the 80s, you had the little balls that swung.
I do know what this is based on.
That sounds terrible.
It's like a natural tray of
sand. Yeah, so in the 90s, you got those little Zen gardens and you'd comb the sand into
little
shapes.
Comb,
and
little rakes.
Pebbles and stuff. And yeah, well, it's all a bit messy.
You could do that.
Whereas, you know, on your iPhone...
You can just have it there.
Wonderful.
I suppose.
So
it's
soothing.
It's not quite the same experience. I don't want to seem like a technophobe or anything.
But, you know, I keep myself calm.
Yeah.
It re-centers you.
Yeah, it does.
For £2.50, it's as calm as you'll ever get.
£2.50?
Something like that.
For a virtual bit of sand you move about with your finger.
Look, all right, yes.
You get a little rake.
Oh, that's interesting. Like a sort of rake stylus.
No.
No, it's a virtual.
The thing is virtual rake.
Rubbish.
Sorry. That would be better.
Duncan, all right, go on then. You go one better.
Well, there's the The only one I could imagine using out of the feature that we had was the sandwich generator.
Ah.
Because do you know what I had for lunch yesterday?
That age-old dilemma of what to put into your sandwich.
Well, I just panic, you see. So yesterday I had a packet of Twiglets and a complete packet of crab sticks.
That's hideous.
Because I just couldn't... well, they're very Moorish crab sticks. But I just couldn't decide what to have, you know, when confronted with the 10 million options that they have in Waitrose and Eat and whatever. So I just panicked slightly. And
so you need technology to decide for you.
Yes.
Does it come up with innovative combinations or just, you know, your normal sort of ham and pickle?
I imagine it comes with very innovative combinations. Mm. But in line with most of these featurettes that we do, I haven't actually played with it.
Oh, so. Useless. Useless. Well, look, you mentioned the pub and they really... I'm a bit annoyed that you have to pay for this, but it is only 59p. It's the Guinness Pub Finder. And basically, it'll point you to the nearest pub serving Guinness, which is, of course, the, you know, it contains vitamins. So, you know, great for lunchtime.
Low in calories as well.
Mm. Lowish. Lower.
Well, lower than
lower than beer.
Yes. But also, rather nicely, it'll email those details to your friends so you can converge on the same pub.
Just make sure you didn't put your boss in there. I'm at the pub.
let's don't you know, go all staff.
Yes, well, that'd be very useful if you're like sort of freelance or if you're meeting people.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, it's not much use if you're in an office.
No. Well, you could just
because the general idea is that you tell
people on different floors.
Imagine if you just left.
Also, well, I suppose because some places they're a bit sort of they're already hoity-toity and they don't like you getting absolutely shit-faced at lunchtime. So, like, one person could go to the pub and then use this app to say, "Oh, I'm here," and then everybody else can surreptitiously. Oh, I've got to go to the toilet now, and oh, I've got a meeting, and then you all assemble in this pub that you've chosen.
And when I say it's annoying that it's 59p, I don't begrudge having to pay for apps because they cost money to develop. But given that it's Guinness branded, you'd kind of think they'd just give it away and get it on
as many handsets as possible.
They're very poor in Ireland at the moment, though, haven't they?
That's true.
After the financial crash, so they do need our help.
So heartless.
Excellent. Well, that is all we have time for. Remember, teether.com has all the latest. T3's on the shelves and on the iPad. And we are on iTunes every Friday. Till next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley and you've been listening to the T3 podcast.